We're going to start, because we're going to end. Welcome to the Cache Valley Transit District Board Meeting, August 28, 2024. We are going to have a Pledge of Allegiance by Laura Strada.
Okay, let's go ahead and start. We pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Flora.
Yep.
The consent agenda is before you, which includes the agenda tonight, the approval of the minutes from June 26, 2024, and the next meeting notice of September 11, 2024. Are there any adjustments? And if not, could I have a motion?
I motion.
Motion. Jeff Turley, a second by Mike Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Is there anybody that opposes it? No? Okay, we'll carry on. Sorry, that goes with it. I can't do two things at once. Public comments. Is there any public here to comment?
The internet's online.
Okay. No comments. All right. Well, let's continue on to board business. District email is the very first one. Once again, an encouragement to use your cbtdbus.org.gov. Excuse me.
.org. Yep,
still dot.
Whatever.
Use your email, okay?
Yeah.
What we don't want to, all communication is going to go by that email from now on. There won't be follow-up texts. There won't be emails to other emails. It is the cbtdbus.whatever email is what we're going to use going forward. Down the road, there's a little change coming, but that won't impact us. So if we just continue to log in, check that frequently. If you have need, we have IT people that will help walk you through just how that works. And, you know, stick around and we'll help you with that. Any questions on that email? Any discussion we need to have there? We're good? Okay. Let's carry on. Second quarter financials. Glenn, tell us about the second quarter.
Second quarter is not the same as the first quarter.
Nailed it. We don't like surprises.
No, everything is kind of going as well as we expected, except sales tax. Well, we were anticipating sales tax might be a little lower this year at the beginning, and that it has trended that way. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen there. But luckily, fuel costs have remained low. We were anticipating that those would be higher. We're in good shape with that, so that may offset what we may have a shortfall on the other. And everything else is going as well. A lot of things are going to be expended during the last two quarters as they're getting filling up the new building. They'll be doing a lot of the furnishings and all that will be coming along, and so of course that will impact that, and so haven't spent as much during the first two quarters, but that will rev up as they start finishing up the facility there. And I asked Curtis to come up with it, and I think that's what this one is here, to come up with the explanation. He walked us through the issue of spending the federal grants and how he has worked that through. So we'll make sure that we spend all the money that we can issue on the federal grants, and then the other issues will come through. So Curtis, could you give us a quick walk through that?
Sure. This sheet is also part of the facility update that will be coming next. But so one of the balances here is, as we're lining up, making sure we use all of the federal funds, but we have some things that are what we call soft costs. They're not specifically under contract quite yet, and so that would be like a contingency fund. When we first started out this project, we had $2.9 million in contingency. You obviously hope you don't use that, but you have to kind of plan for it just in case, because in case fund.
That's why it's a contingency.
The contingency. So what we did is we really focused on everything that we could lock up hard dollars. So if you look at the contract costs, that column that's labeled contract, Those ones are specifically under contract. We know how much they are. And you'll see right now, we have allocated every single federal dollar into those hard contracts. So we know that we'll be using up all of the federal funds first. We won't have anything left over that we would have the possibility have to return or find something else to use them on. So we will use all of the federal dollars and all the match that's related to that very, very first. And then as other stuff becomes known, or we'll use the sales tax dollars, the CBTD dollars. So there's a lot of strategy behind the scenes going on as we monitor this, and we've kept monitoring all the way through the project.
So are we gonna have to spend the contingency?
I don't want to steal Dave's thunder, but...
Okay. Well, he's not here to steal it.
So. Yeah. right now, we're sitting on $1.5 million of contingency that's left. You can see that construction contingency soft cost column. Everybody see where I'm looking?
And so based on your burn rate, is that where you expect it to be, or...?
We're actually in a really good position. And so one of the things that we asked the contractor to do, if you remember early on in the process, one of the costs that we had eliminated was the fence around the property. And we think we've got enough contingency there to where we can we've asked the contractor to go through and the design team to go through and design the fence and see what the cost is to add that in. So we may use a chunk of that contingency to add the fencing that we eventually wanted to put around the property anyway. So we may go through some of that contingency for adding that fence purpose. But right now, no, we've gone slower through the contingency than what we were worried about. We went through quite a bit up front when we had the water issues. And so we were holding back, not authorizing things. But now that we're closer to the end, it depends on what that price of that fence is. And North Logan does not allow chain link fence in that area, so it's going to be a nicer fence that goes around the property so that it meshes in with what North Logan's concepts are. There's only a few things that we can choose from. But we'll see what that comes in at and then make that decision to make sure we're staying within the budget. So. Do you want me to cover facility while I'm...
No, before we go to that, do you mind if I ask about sales tax? Tell us that's a notably off. I don't really have context for that, so...
Yeah, so right now, our sales tax is running basically flat compared to last year. Now, we had a little bit of a nuance. Sales tax is always 2 months behind when it's actually paid to the vendors. So when a person goes in and shops in June, the vendor has until July to figure out everything and submit a report by the end of July, pay it to the state sometime by the end of August, or pay it to the end by the end of July. Then the state takes about a month, and we get it towards the end of August. So if we back up, sales tax that was collected in June was to be paid sales tax that was collected for June was paid at the end of July, and there was just these ones only go through June, so I got to back up to what June was. If you looked at the end of June, the month end of June ended on a Sunday, and so there's going to be some late filers on that one. We're anticipating those people that should have paid their sales tax in June didn't pay it until late. And so we saw late collections on that. We're expecting to see late collections. So we think that drove the percentage down a little bit. If it comes back to where we're looking at, we're running somewhere about 1.5% over the last year is what kind of where I'm thinking we're going to be through 6 months of the year.
So I'm sure if I spent more time on this, I could just figure it out, but you can just tell me. So. Are we more than $1.5 million off right now?
So,
this runs, I just can't figure out, it runs to June 30th, and I can't figure out if the budget's for the whole year.
Yeah, the budget's for the whole year.
So we're about $1.5 million off.
Yeah, it
based on the burn.
It looks a little bit. Sales tax always starts out slower, so our big months, June, September, and December are absolutely huge because they're quarter ends.
Quarterlies.
So.
But then we have the 2 month lag. So wouldn't that be February and March?
Well, I adjust it to where we're actually reporting.
Okay.
The right way. I've got an estimate in there.
Oh, I see.
To anticipate what's coming in. So yeah, I continuously monitor this and see where we're standing on an actual basis. We're running about 1.5%. We had budgeted 3.8%, so we're running a little bit more than 2% under. So 2% of the 8.6 is about where we're running.
The increase isn't as great as we anticipated.
Right, but it also makes up, sales tax makes up 90% of our operations expense.
Yeah. It's a
and
huge.
So when it's off, it's off notably.
Yeah, exactly.
And so are we concerned?
This is what, when we talked in the meeting, if our fuel wasn't running lower than what we had budgeted, $4.50 per gallon, we're running about $2.75, $2.80. So fuel is helping offset some of that. And our interest earnings is a lot higher than what we anticipated. Those two items right now are compensating us. And so we're not saying that we need to start pulling back on our expenses and being worried about where we're gonna come in. And we're still monitoring everybody's budgets and being very, very particular about what we're spending. So we're monitoring this every single month, all the time, and we're being very cautious with it.
So while it's on the table, is it something that we'll need to address for the 2025 budget, that maybe sales tax won't be as generous as what we anticipated? Maybe we need to dial back expenses, operating expenses.
There could be some challenges as we're coming into the budget season as to what those sales tax projections come out to be. Overall, we all feel that the economy is kind of slowing down. I mean, the Fed's acknowledging that it's slowing down. So I'm going to be really interested to see. The governor's office is supposed to come through with projections. And we're waiting for some of those to come out.
So your earnings next year won't be as generous either.
What's that?
Your earnings on your accounts won't be as generous next year either. So you're going to get burned from two ends.
Yes, we are.
So we probably, again, this is early, but we're about to announce that we're going to start the budget process. We ought to dial back the operating expenses because it sells tax that funds it.
Yeah, we're going to be monitoring that as we're preparing the budget. We'll go over the budget goals, and I'll explain from management sides what we're proposing.
Thank you. That's great.
Did we ever get a handle on estimated cost to run a facility?
We did. Yeah, and we're dialing that into the budget, so we got some solid projections. Interestingly, the gas bill isn't projected to be that horrible relative to because of a lot of the efficiencies. The light bill is going to be, our power bill is going to be a little bit higher just because there is more space that has the potential to be lit up. So that part's built in. But it wasn't as bad for the budget as what I anticipated. And so we're actually coming in under some of my projections with what we got a firm to do an estimate for us.
So we're probably putting more energy efficient items in there. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's surprising. We've been out there at various times, and the light that comes into the bus storage is like astronomically huge. It's amazing. There's times when you're walking around out there and you don't need another light on. The contractors are working without additional lights going.
Okay. That's great. Thanks. Yeah, I guess you should do facility too while you're up there. Unless
you put buses in there, it'll darken it a little bit.
It'll block some of it. But the skylights, the way they come down, they're not. We got strategically placed skylights that the designer put in, and so we don't have just the light coming in from the sides. There's light coming down from the roof that make it's pretty bright. Now, when we have cloudy days and stuff like that, it'll darken up. But the summer's really nice. And it actually stays really cool in there. That was one of the things we've commented on is some of that area just stays almost It's colder than I expected. So that'll help out some of our heating, our air conditioning in the summer. We'll see how much heat it retains then in the winter.
Okay, any other questions about the budget? Building?
Ron, do you want to cover anything or?
The biggest part of the building is under budget and ahead of time. So that's the biggest message I think that I got out of the meeting that we had a couple days ago. But was that, and I think they're projecting the December timeframe to be finished.
It'll probably be first couple weeks in January, but it's right
that area.
Yeah, December, January.
And then so we're anticipating having a board tour, I think about a month from now.
We're wanting to look at October, either the second weekend in October, like that Thursday, Friday, if your schedules allow.
But if you look at the facility, and I went past there just 20 minutes ago on my way here, this is the, if you see the picture here, this is the view from the south looking north, and the apron is built out over here.
Yep.
All of the curbing is built out. They are going to wait on the asphalt so that they don't have trucks and stuff tracking dirt and mud all over the asphalt and making it look bad. They're going to wait to get that further on down, I'm sure before the asphalt plant closes, but a little bit farther down the road so you don't have people driving on it. But I saw guys out there compacting it right this minute, was out there compacting where the asphalt will go. And it looks really good. It looks really nice. So I don't know if I have much more experience than that.
We were going to show you some pictures, so they're just in your handouts there. If you want to look at that. I threw some renderings in there from the same people.
So just as a reminder, we came to the board back when we were right in the tail end of design, and we had final cost number, or well, we had our projected cost numbers, and we asked the board for authorization to go up to $50 million. And that was granted by the board. So as an internal management team, we took the $50 million and said, we really want to finish under budget. So we knocked 10% off of that, almost 10% immediately. And so we originally started out, you can see on this sheet, we started out with just a little bit over a $45 million budget internally. That's what we set, just based off of where we thought we wanted to be. We've tweaked that just a titch, but I'm keeping track of the internal numbers. So we went all the way up to 45.5, from 45.4 to 45.5.
Right.
And we're targeting for that. But within that number, if you look at the soft cost, we still have some spare money for design. We've been holding that back just in case we ran across something at the very end that was like, we need to throw some extra design in. And so we've got about $271,000 sitting there that's just contingency for design. We're getting to the point where I'm hoping we don't use that. We talked about the other contingency, the $1.5 million. We'll see where the fence comes in. We may use some of that. And then the $938,000 that's remaining, we've got our first initial bid on the furniture, so that became a hard cost, so that slid over into the furniture, that $321,000. That's redoing all the desks, that's bringing in a full standard layout for the office furniture, so we're more standardized, it's more attractive. It also covers the board area with desks, the seating area for you guys, that'll be more of it's almost like a smiley face type setup. So you can actually converse a little bit better. And then the public will be back and they'll have the chairs. So all of that's encompassed in that 320. That number's gonna move ever so slightly as we're doing some final tweaks. The other part is some equipment for the shop. That'll be coming through. So we'll be using up a huge chunk of the 928 for shop equipment. It's also gotta cover our security cameras and also TV monitors and other things that are used throughout the facility for communication purposes, and some new servers and technology that'll be going in over there. So we'll be upgrading everything to the most modern stuff as we move into the facility. But as Ron said, we're gonna come in probably even under that 45.5 budget. So we're really trying to be accountable to the board and being responsible. So
good.
Not even close to the $50 million that the board authorized.
That's what we like.
Okay, any questions? Further discussion? Thank you, Curtis, Todd, Glenn, Ron, everybody. Thanks for your participation. Okay, we're going to move to a consideration of the bylaws, and I'd like this to end in a motion, I would hope. So we've modified the bylaws for the board, and there's three things I'd like to draw to your attention, actually two, and I'll let Todd talk about. Todd, talk about secretary really quick, please.
So in the past, the state code required the board to have a secretary position, and that was then just delegated to the administrative staff. I think in the wisdom of the legislature and probably some feedback from boards, they have now removed that from the state code. So there's no longer a requirement that the board have from the board body a secretary. So that's been removed from the bylaws.
Okay, thank you. The second change that we'd like to discuss is compensation for the board. So presently, the way it reads is every single meeting, there's a compensation of $50, which is fine. It's just variable. It's a little bit more difficult to budget, and it seems like a lot of extra work for nothing. So the proposal is that board members just get $200 a month. You come to a lot of meetings, you come to a little meeting, few meetings, it's $200 a month, with the exception of the board chair. Note that I will not be board chair when this goes into effect. So this is not self-serving, but the board chair will get twice that amount. They put in notably more time. So that's the second change. The third change has to do with term limits of the board. We'd like to refresh the board somewhat frequently, not too frequently. There's a delicate balance between getting your feet underneath you and staying too long. And so the proposal going forward, this is the board, the proposal going forward is you could serve 2 4-year terms. The first end of the first 4-year term, you need to be reappointed by your affiliated or city. The second, you're done.
Is that from now? Or
is it is from now. It starts over with a clean slate. Yes,
well,
sir.
Some of the outlying communities, that's
yes.
Automatic.
Yes, this is what I didn't want to talk about. But yeah, that's an issue. What did we decide?
So, well, what we put in the language here is it's just you can serve 8 years consecutively.
Yeah.
So it not necessarily even 4-year terms. It's just 8 years consecutively. And so that's trying to account for if cities want to do 2-year terms or something like that. We're just saying that 8 years, then you have to go off the board. At least for a period of time.
Discussion on this.
So you serve 8 years, you can get off the board and say the city wants you back on there again. You come back after another.
Just as 8 years consecutively.
Yes.
Yeah, so there is a come on and on.
Psychiatric evaluation you have to go through. Why would you want to do that? But you know, that aside. What's going on? But again, it's more intention than it is practice. It is, let's get new ideas every so often. Let's refresh the board. It's just good for the organization. Any concerns on these three changes to the bylaws? If not, I would accept a motion to adopt them.
Is there a motion?
Thank you.
Motion.
And Flora has seconded it. Jeff has motion. Discussion.
Yeah. So when are these? Next year? Is that when this goes into effect?
This would go into effect after the vote, actually.
It goes into effect right now. I guess that was self-serving. No, I think, well.
You can, if you want to make the motion to go into effect next year, that's up to
January
you.
1. Would you accept a friendly amendment to your motion that it goes into effect January 1, 2025?
Yes.
So moved and
seconded
by Floor. Thank you.
So by then you said you won't be chair, right?
I'm sorry?
Is that what you said? So no self-serving, is that what you said?
Yes.
So when are you going to be done?
I will be done on December 31st, yes.
Oh.
Not from the board, just from this seat on the board.
From this seat.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to have to get someone else. And
she will be it.
Oh, she's
going to be it? Is the
vice chair.
And then the vice chair. And then we will do an election for another vice chair.
Oh.
Sometime soon.
Yeah, usually we do that in October.
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 It's coming in. Get your campaign signs out.
Fine.
Okay, any further discussion on those three adjustments to the transit district policy? No? We've moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Is there any opposed? No. Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. Let's go to management reports. Mindy.
You skipped up. Are we skipping the budget priorities?
You just skipped Curtis?
Sorry, Curtis. Sorry about that.
You can, I'm okay.
It's like you want me to go.
Board priorities.
That was a subliminal,
Sorry about that.
I can take a hint. It's okay. So as you remember each year, as management, we come through and design, we meet and we discuss where should our emphasis be, what should our focus be. Now this is our focus. The board really needs to have its consideration, and we design meetings in September to where the board can actually discuss what you want for your priorities. These are what we're talking about internally and what we see as major points, just for your consideration. So we won't be asking for approval. In the past, we've looked to the board to approve these. We're not asking for that this year. What we're asking for this year is the board have discussions of what your priorities are. And we've done that in consultation with the executive committee and kind of feel like this is a good thing. But we felt like we needed to communicate what we're talking about internally as far as our priorities. So if we go down through, we've kind of divided this into five sections. The very first one is our transit operations. Our focus is to avoid cuts to services. So one of our key priorities is going to be, what can we do to make sure our services stay stable? Now we may tweak a few things here and there, but we want to keep the services as consistent as possible. Now the other part of this, we've got a plan for transitioning the new facility, and so we've already started designing a facility transition plan. We'll be fine-tuning that over the next few months, and one of our key priorities is going to be in the budget is going to be identifying adequate funds so we can move into there. Now what does that entail as it impacts the budget? The huge part is training. We'll have to have people drive their routes, but then we'll take them on other times when they have hours available, and we'll run them through the facility so that they know how to park the buses, so they know how to get the lanes that they're going to be driving on, because it's going to be a different flow of traffic than what they're used to. So there'll be training hours that we'll be building into this budget. There's going to be some staffing adjustments. We got a lot more facility that we got to be able to take care of, so we're going to be identifying all of these things as part of our facility transition plan. Whole new plans of evacuations. There's a whole lot of regulations that we have to comply with. So all of that will be designed in, and we'll test it in the first few months before we actually go over there. So it'll be a time frame where we'll be not at the new facility full. We'll be working at our current place, so we'll be working at kind of out of both places for a minute, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we'll go through a decommissioning process on the current facility so we can get it ready to sell. There's a few expenses that you have to incur there as you're cleaning the facility up, getting furniture out, selling stuff, things like that.
Do you have to remove any gas tanks or anything? Or?
We do not, because it's above ground. So we don't have to worry about that at all. But great question. We really enjoy above ground storage.
Will we need to do a phase, whatever you call that, for the environmental, to make sure there's no spillage or any leakage?
I think with the above ground, I think we're going to know what that is.
Yeah, and we'll work through it. We'll be procuring a broker that will guide us through some of that process to make sure. We're anticipating that we won't have to.
We always do that, so they can't come back after.
Correct.
Later.
You're right.
On.
Yeah, we will have it signed off. And
it'll be part of the agreement that they, that somebody will be doing an analysis that way.
Have you got a buyer yet for that property?
Mm-hmm. No, we haven't even got that far.
Is it too early to do a cutting date?
We didn't mention that, but it's January 22nd is our tentative ribbon cutting date.
But we'll be operating out of there already?
No, but that is a date we're working with Congressman Moore, because he's a big one that's really helped us get some of this funding. We won't know this for sure until middle of November, because we have to look and wait for the congressional calendar to come out. But we tentatively talked with his office and have January 22nd as a placeholder. And then if it adjusts, we'll let people know. But as soon as we know, then we'll start getting invitations to you to get to your councils. This is probably something we would encourage you to, you know, hand deliver to your council members and show up at a council meeting and personally invite them, I think would be appropriate.
Other part is financial. So we're going to be looking at ongoing costs. We want to make sure our ongoing costs are going to be equal to or less than our revenues, preferably less than our revenues, our ongoing revenues. Now, we will have some one-time costs moving in out there, some of these duplicitous things where we're incurring expenses both at the new facility. The old one will be identifying those so we can specifically say, here's our operating costs and make sure that we're staying in balance there. We don't want to get upside down with that. We do have some capital improvements that we're going to be going through. We need to make sure that we have last minute capital items as we're moving in. There could be some stuff that we end up procuring in January, February as we move in. And this budget's going to be identifying those. So we'll identify, they're still in the overall project budget. We'll just be shifting it from this current fiscal year 24 budget into the next fiscal year 25 budget. So it's not like it'll be budgeted twice. They'll only be able to spend it once. But we'll be identifying those. We are going to be proposing to start designing the South End property. We're not sure if we'll be able to get into construction in fiscal year 25, but definitely we'll have money for design phase of how we'll be working on that south side of the property for our training course and training facility. Another one that's coming up, we're noticing that there seems to be a need as we're looking at how the service might expand and how our loop services is interacting with the pool service to consider property on the north and the south end that would be additional transfer points. So right now we only have the transit center right in the middle. We are looking at the possibility of considering property on the north and south end. We don't want to go into a whole lot to property without going into a closed session. So we'll talk in very vague terms. But then as we get this narrowed down, but this budget could be considering property in those locations. And once again, it'll be rough amounts. We'll narrow that down as we get into the budget timeframes, or into the actual discussions of properties. But we want to do that in closed session just because people tend to look at our notes and decide to invest in a property that they think we're interested in. We did have the bus that was totaled. We reported that to the board. We won't be able to replace that this year, so there'll be money. Our goal is to get money into the next year's budget to replace that.
Did insurance cover the cost of that?
Covered a chunk. We received $184,000. If we were to replace the bus outright, it's $500,000. So we've got to work these nuances out and decide what we're going to do there. So we're in the middle of investigating different styles of buses. We may consider a different type to go through neighborhoods a little bit easier than the full 35-footers. We do have a support vehicle that needs to be replaced. It's gone through its useful life, and so that'll come up as one of our priorities. And then we do have some equipment needs that we've identified with the new facility that'll be a part of the capital budget, and we'll be proposing those. We are proposing to continue our public outreach. We think there's benefit as we've reached out to the public. Just this, was it last week or this week, Jody, that we broke 7,000 trips?
This week. Monday.
So just put that in context, that's above pre-pandemic levels of where
7,000
7,000 trips in a day.
In a day?
Oh, yeah, that's in one day.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A trip constitutes an individual getting on the bus.
Yep. So previously we were running 65 to 68,000. Or 6,800, sorry, 6,500 to 6,800, sorry. Thank you. I slid a zero. Or two. So this is absolutely shows the need of the public seeing in this. So we're excited about it, but once again, it's operational, so we got to make sure we're meeting needs. We'll be concerned that. And then planning activities. We do have two items for planning that are on our priorities. We have certain times that are low traffic demand time frames. So for example, as the evening gets on into the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, our traffic patterns tend to go down a little bit. Way early in the morning, they're a little bit lighter. So when we're first starting up. And then Saturdays tends to be a lot lower demand. And so one of our priorities is to consider doing a study of, is there something different that we should be doing with those low demand timeframes? And then maybe ramp up to full service at a different time, but have some other compensating service during those low demand times. And we want to understand some industry trends and seeing if there's some options that we should be considering out there that may be more effective in actually delivering service to people. I won't say efficient, just looking at how can we get people from point A to point B a little bit better. There are some other options we should consider. So that'll be one of our priorities. And then the other one is, we meant to get the economic study done this year. It looks like it's not gonna happen, just some conflicts with ability of finding somebody. So we'll probably move that over to the next year's budget. So those are where we're coming from. Those are some key things that we're looking at as we're trying to address the public's needs, address the board's needs. So we're looking forward to a collaborative process so that the board, you guys can give us guidance on what you're hearing and what you feel we should be doing. So that's just a starting point. So looking forward to the discussion.
Hey, thank you.
Maybe it's worth talking about the process too while we're here. So the budget's the board's only tool. We have this conversation every year. This is how we enforce the policy and how we determine the priorities of the board in general, of the organization. So the key budget priorities need to be your priorities. They need to be the things that you want to have happen. Obviously, one of the first priorities is we want consistent service to the patrons themselves. We want a good environment, atmosphere. That costs so much money. Maybe that we're going to isolate that down to an existing budget. Maybe it's like 72% of the budget. That leaves you another 28% of the budget to do strategic things with. What are those strategic things? Some of them are building out, finishing and moving into the facility and operating it. Some of those things might be new routes and new property and new services. One of those years we used Loop, and one of the years we used Pool for those strategic priorities. But the process and the evolution to get those priorities from, this is just a pitch by the staff to this is your priority, is we're gonna have a series of meetings in both September and October. We'll have two board meetings in September and two board meetings in October. These will be workshop meetings for the most part. One in each month will be a regular board meeting, but all of them will contain a workshop component to it where you can ask questions, you can understand the budget and refine those numbers. So some of the conversation we had tonight regarding operation costs and income that will come into play. So one, I need you to be available in September and October, and two, I need you to be engaged. The worst thing we could do as a board is be a rubber stamp board, not understanding the budget. The budget is really the biggest deal to understand of all the things we understand in a given year. So that's kind of the direction we'll go. The hope is that we will have it all very refined by our November meeting and final, and we have to vote on a preliminary budget, tentative budget. And then our final budget will be December. In other boards I've been on, it's just been brutal. We fought about it until December 29th at 2 a.m. I don't want to do that. We have never done that here. But we have done the opposite, where we just kind of said, oh, that sounds good, let's do that. We're not going to do that either. So we're going to do a detailed budget this year. So I appreciate in advance the time and effort you're putting into it. What do we want to talk about, Mindy? Let's talk about a triennial review. What do you say?
Yeah.
Thanks.
a great thing to talk about because we have a great successful trainer review. So I'm Mindy, if you haven't met me officially before. I'm the accounting and procurement officer. I've been with the district for 15 years now, but in this position about 10 and a half. So I've been doing the procurement and all that for a minute. So I help manage the whole triennial review process. So it started, just so you kind of have a background, it started in December. They sent us a packet requesting all these documents. We had time to compile all that and got them all submitted by February. It got some fun numbers. We uploaded over 230 documents to the reviewer, and he had the fun job of reviewing all that. And then in May, he came back with just some follow-up questions and other documents he wanted to see, so we sent those off. And then in July, he came out on site for 3 days, and he goes over. They have 23 areas of compliance that they're making sure that we're doing what we should be. But out of those 23 areas, you can have 700 deficiencies. but as you probably saw in your packets, they have the draft letter from the reviewer showing that we did have one deficiency. It was in the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan. It's a mouthful, so we call it the PTAS. So we were missing the required language to address strategies to minimize infectious disease exposure. So a very minor thing, we're going to fix that, put that language in there how they want it. And then we update the PTAS plan every year anyways. And we're gonna update that and we'll bring it back to the board for your guys' approval. And then here in September, the reviewer will be sending the final letter. And so we'll get that to the board once we receive that final letter. I don't anticipate anything changing based off of the draft letter, but. So overall, we had a very successful review. I mean, we've got a great team that put a lot of work into it. Even just throughout the year, we've updated all our policies and everything to make sure we were ready when they requested the documents. So it's been a great process, and we're very happy to have it off our shoulders for now until the next one. But we continually strive to keep on top of all those things so it's not as big of a deal when it does come. But any questions?
I will just say one finding is beyond impressive. The lowest we've ever had, and so Mindy and Tom have done it.
I think last year there was like three or four, wasn't there?
Yeah. Three last year, which wasn't bad either, overall.
Typically the region average is somewhere between 12 to 15, so.
Now, do they sometimes are nitpicky just so there's something in there, and have they ever had a perfect score?
It's kind of how we feel this time, but that's okay. We'll take
your
one.
Yeah.
Kind of earn his wings.
Thanks, Mindy.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, Jody, can we talk about emission vehicle study?
Sure. So just want to give you an update on a low no vehicle emission study that was budgeted for this year. So we've kicked that off. Some of the reasoning for this study is we just want to get a grasp on what we should do because there's a big push in industry, starting to see Teslas and all these things around, and everybody's talking about low emissions or no emissions or totally electric hybrid stuff. So we want to move through that with looking at battery electric hybrids, full battery electrics, and hydrogen, which hydrogen is not really practical, but we're going to throw it in a little bit.
Isn't this capacity. Like a mobile a hydrogen bomb? Is that what that is?
The Hinden bus is what we call it. The Hinden bus. So what we want to do is understand what vehicles are out there and what infrastructure is needed, basically, for different applications. So we'll be asking the consultant for that. And then we'll have them come back and report in December, and we'll get what's out there in the marketplace because, tap into Ron a little bit.
I can tell you where you're supposed to stay away from.
So it's a very dynamic environment. Yeah, it's a very dynamic environment, and there's been a two-step forward and one-step back type of thing. A lot of companies have failed. A lot of companies are changing. So we want to really understand this before we go to navigate it and make a plan to transition to something. So that'll be a deliverable is what's out there and what's viable to purchase.
I'll wait as long as possible. And we're not required to, we're just...
No, but...
At some point you will.
At some point it's coming, and I think the goal is 7,500 vehicles, EV vehicles in the fleet by 2030 nationwide, I believe is the goal right now. That's not a mandate, that's just a goal. But, so then get real world information. This will be another part of the deliverable, is what's happening in different properties that are like us, right? Climate has a factor, all of these things have a factor, so what are they really seeing when they, the people that have actually implemented things?
I've got four of them in Colorado Springs, that very similar system to this, very similar. And
yeah.
I can count on one hand how many vehicles were running throughout this last 6 months.
Yes.
And those are the things we're gonna...
So those are the things we're looking to glean out of this, what really is viable. And then we want to, like say, just have them come and have a great understanding of what the challenges are and what the opportunities are at that point, at the end of the year, because there are opportunities to implement. We just don't know exactly what the path will be. So I'd entertain any questions or further discussion.
This new facility,
so,
I remember.
So you get this information from those people. How soon do you think that you want to implement those changes, or?
I'm gonna go back and say that depends on what our priorities are.
Also, we're gonna have to.
When we finalize the priorities, that's gonna have a big impact on what we do, right?
Right.
We just wanna know what's viable, so we have good information to say, well, we understand it's a priority, but it's not really practical to do. And the size of the organization plays a big role, because it's all about money. You can implement if you have enough money. It's just,
grand.
It just takes more money to implement and sustain operations.
So I was just asking, because like you were saying earlier, right? So this other bus that needs to be replaced. So are you trying to use that information to buy the next, you know, bus? Is that how it is, or?
That is definitely a possibility.
Okay.
So part of that, Florida, is the consultant will come and report to this board. And really, just like the budget, that's also something that the board will kind of set. What is our priority?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you want to see us transition in the next 10 years? Is that something that's 15 years? Or as Ron said, is that as far off as we can put it? We just want to get this information so we can all have a collaborative discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wasn't sure if that information was going to be used, you know, for the next purchase, or if that's something that you were planning to use, you know, in the next, you know, few years once you have that evaluation.
The information we get will help us.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention that the bigger the vehicle, so like if you go to a heavy duty vehicle, that is definitely where the challenges start to increase, because of the capacity, the battery capacities and the charge times, and you have to look at opportunity charging versus depot charging. So there's a lot of factors there. So smaller vehicles are definitely easier to implement.
A lot of agencies are having to buy double the buses for one route. So if you ran one bus on a route, you now have two, because
two.
You have to have the vehicle charged up.
Charging
car,
the other one while
then
the
other
one's
running. Back at the bus charging when they trade them out at noontime and switch the bus.
Yeah.
So there's others that spend a lot of money in opportunity charging, say at the transit center, or along the route where they can get a 5-minute charge every loop. And that helps make the batteries last longer.
Did we wire
that's
for charging?
Big money.
The facility's plumbed for that.
But
so
technology's going to improve, and they're going to get more range. That's going to happen, but that's why I say wait as long as possible till you get that.
So Missoula, Montana is kind of a sister system, and one that we'll have on the pier. They've transitioned quite a bit to electric, but because of the climate there, they've had to install Wabasso heaters. So these are diesel-fired heaters they put on an electric bus, just so they can heat the bus in the wintertime, because otherwise the battery is depleted too much. And that diesel-fired motor is not regulated the same way our clean diesel buses are regulated. So it's probably polluting more than our diesel buses.
And if there's good grants out there, you know, you can spend more money and make it work. But to say it's smoother to run without it. Tell you that from experience.
So we'll let the information guide us.
Is there any other questions?
Have they looked, compared to any of this, you know, with the Aspire program at the university, you know, or looking at that at all?
So I've sat in meetings with Aspire, Todd's been in meetings with Aspire, and Utah, or Rocky Mountain Power, not Utah, or sorry, Rocky Mountain Power. And there's a lot of conversations, and there's still that push, but it's just, it's like, to me...
It's far in the future.
Yeah, to me, it's just kind of jammed up right now, and I think we're just waiting on more battery capacity and a couple of other things before it really breaks, and we, the dam breaks, and it really is something that's viable.
Now, is those, like some cities, they have those electric buses with the cables running across the routes. Is that one of the possible viable solutions, or you just get power off the wires?
That's not something that this study will look at.
That's not something.
We're specifically looking at the hybrid battery and just the battery electric and a little bit of hydrogen, just because that's got a lot of buzz around it right now. Hydrogen has a lot of buzz.
You'd have to put all that infrastructure in.
Right.
And you see a lot of, Logan especially, they've gone away from having wires above ground. They don't like the visual pollution. They want everything buried. And so they put a lot of emphasis and infrastructure costs into burying all these lines.
Now, this new facility should be, you've designed it to where whatever possible solution that you guys come up with, it could handle that.
I won't go so far as to say whatever, but yes, we have tried to anticipate new technology.
As much as possible.
Anticipate new technology and account for that, yes.
We have conduits like this big for power lines.
The building's not going to fall over because it's full of conduits.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Thanks, Jody.
Thank you.
Todd, can you walk us through a congressional
just real quick? We had Senator Lee's staff out a couple weeks ago to do a bus driving experience and go toward the facility. I bring that up just because Senator Lee's staff, it's been years, literally years, since we've done really anything with them. I think it's a pretty significant thing. And so they had a great experience. They were very impressed with what's going on and the facility. And so we start to build some relationships there. And as Patrick knows, as we go and do these things, it's all about relationships that, you know, down the road that may pay dividends. So just wanted to update you on that.
Thank you. Thanks for taking such good care of that situation. It's great. Hey, and the board chair report, all I have tonight is just to recognize some of our long-term employees, and we're just so grateful that the culture is so accommodating that people want to stay here. Let's start with the people in the room, like Charisse Van Dyke, who's been with us for 8 years, Colton's been with us for 9 years, and Mindy Spackman, as she already stole my thunder, has been here 15 years, so thank you. We love that. Others that have been with us for a while, we have driver Steve Lindsay's been with us for 6 years, Brian Corbridge, 13 years, Shannon Gamill has been 17, Chad Shoup, 18, and Janine Hoyt, 22 years. That's fantastic. Jason England has been with us in dispatch for 5 years, and now I got to peel out the administration that I haven't named. Carrie Thomas is a grants and contract for 9 years. Angel Hooley, staff coordinator for 7 years. That's it. That's all of them. That's amazing. I can't keep employees for 3 years. Look at these guys. I'm hard to work with, though. So, anything else from the board? Anything we ought to talk about? Final comments?
Just, question, comment? Just a comment. But yes. Besides the recognition here of those employees, do they get anything else, like a little gift card to go somewhere, you know, have dinner with their spouse?
Something we could budget for next year, but not right now.
So we do have a pewter bus, and it puts the number of years on there and things of that nature. I think Curtis mentioned this before. That's one of those things we're always evaluating of what recognition is helpful for folks, and it's different for different people. So we're constantly trying to evaluate what is, but yes, we try to recognize
do
people's years
something.
Of service, yeah.
Dinner with
nice.
The CEO.
What's that? A video?
Dinner with you.
I don't think that would help them.
That wouldn't be
let's nice keep them motivated.
Okay, no public comment with that. I think we stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody.